Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, 3-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hello. 2 hours down, 3 hours to go. This is a 5-hour show. 888-808-1019. If you're calling now, I'll get to you quickly because coming up next is Zach Rosenblatt, who covers the Jets for The Athletic. Obviously, we're going to talk about Aaron Glenn and some things with the Jets. But now, time for a new segment, What Came Across My Desk. I'll hit you with a couple things that I saw in the sports world, news, maybe something funny or interesting that came across my desk that I'm like, all right, let me put that in my notes to share with the WFAN listeners and audience. So, speaking of the Jets, I follow Glue Guy Sports on Instagram. I follow a lot of sports accounts on Instagram, on Twitter. I get a lot of stuff from there. And they took one of their tweets where it said, the most important kick in Commanders history was made last year by Greg Zuerlein. If this kick misses, the Commanders drop from number 2 to number 5 in the draft, and don't get Jaden Daniels. And I thought back to that game where the Jets ended up winning, 10 seconds left. He kicks that ball through the uprights to make it 30 to 28. And I mean, obviously with the Commanders last year, I think I already mentioned Sam Howell and Ron Rivera. They were a tank. Gervonta, Tank Davis, Tank Dell, Tank Bigsby. They were sleeveless. They were a tank. But we talk so much about Tommy Cutledge, Tommy DeVito. We place all the blame on the Giants not knowing how to tank and missing out on Jaden Daniels. The Jets also laid a hand in that. I was cracking up at that. I'm like, the Jets were part of this too. The Jets winning that game did not help their stadium neighbors, their in-state rivals. And it did help the Commanders go from number 2, where they could have been number 5, to number 2 in the draft. Along those lines, what came across my desk, the 33rd team posted, the Commanders matched the Bengals for the most seasons between conference championship appearances all time. The Bengals went from 1990 to 2022, 32 seasons. And the Commanders, formerly known as the Washington football team, formerly known as the Redskins, went from 1992 to 2024, 32 seasons. Like, that's a whole generation. That's a whole lifetime. That's a long time, man. You know who else is creeping up on that? Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys creeping up on, 32 years without making an appearance in the conference championship. 888-808-1019. Actually, I got a full rack of calls, so I'll go through the calls, and then we'll break, and we'll go get Zach Rosenblatt. Again, this is Keith McPherson on the Fan KM to AM. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. Hopefully you are good wherever you are and enjoying the show. We're almost halfway through. Let's go to Joe in Lakewood.
Hey,
What's up, Joe?
I don't know why the Yankees have DJ instead of Oswaldo at third base.
Well, they don't yet. I mean, we haven't even gotten to spring training. We don't know. In theory.
I know. Shout out.
We try to bring you into the conversation. Everybody's welcome here. We're all hanging out. We're all talking sports. Compose yourself, young man. Get it together. Make your parents proud. Sounds like he had a buddy next to him. They were like putting him up to, hey, call Keith and complain about DJ LeMahieu, yo. That'll be funny. About third base with the Yankees. The way I see it right now, Marcus Stroman is what's stopping them from making any other moves or trades. And I understand that. They're trying to get Marcus Stroman's money off the books before they trade for a key Brian Hayes, as I was trying to endorse last week. And when you go into camp, you need competition. Where else is there competition at a position for the New York Yankees in spring training? Competition brings the best out of competitors. Iron sharpens iron. These guys are alphas. And maybe there'll be a competition between Oswaldo Cabrera, DJ LeMahieu, maybe even Oswald Peraza. Who knows? 888-808-1019. My guy Ray in Brooklyn back on the Fan.
La Familia, what's good, man? How you doing tonight, bro?
Holding it down. Thanks for checking in.
Of course. Thanks for taking the call. And of course, when I say La Familia, it's in the, you know, Yankees Mafia family. Not to be confused with Rock La Familia, because we don't know what the hell Jay-Z's been up to. All
no,
I know.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, you know.
La Familia.
Stuff, so
could
I
be,
just gotta
could be Italian. Could, you know, could be. I don't know. I don't know your background, Ray. I don't know.
No. I'm Puerto Rican, so that's actually we
Boricua.
Say it the same way, La Familia. Yeah, I'm Boricua, but we say it the same way. There's a lot of things in Italian and in Spanish that are very similar, and those two things. The way you say family in Spanish and Italian is exactly the same way, La Familia, same
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, the way that the Mets say family in English and Spanish is paying Juan Soto $51 million a year and not paying Pete Alonso anything.
Yeah, that's how they say family. You know what's crazy? I'm going to get it. Like, I'm going to take a quick second on that, too. But I wanted to follow up because I think while I was calling, it sounded like you had a gentleman who might have been of Asian descent calling, and it sounded like he was trying to be an apologist for Shohei Ohtani,
yeah.
And yeah, you know what though? Listen, I mean, Shohei Ohtani must think we were born yesterday. Of course he's not stupid. If he's going to have somebody doing his dirt, he's going to have that person on the phone posing and, you know, impersonating him as well. He's not stupid enough to put his own voice on the phone. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know that, and I'm not, you know, as rich or powerful as he is. So, like, the fact that you have, you know, apologists now saying, well, listen, look, there's a Fed tape out with his interpreter's voice. Of course, because Ohtani's not stupid. He was never going to do it himself. If he was going to have the guy betting for him, he was going to have him on the phone so he can have what is called plausible deniability so that all of his apologists can feed into it. So
it doesn't take CSI. We don't need to, you know, we don't need to investigate this one any deeper. That's obvious.
Right. But I don't want people trying to flip the narrative thinking that we're stupid. This is what's called protecting yourself with plausible deniability. That's all this is. But anyway, so as far as the Mets, it's crazy because, like, I'm laughing because they're, like, a lot of fans are flawed. They called in when they got Soto. They said, we're the big brother. Who cares? It's not our money. Now, all of a sudden, they all care about the money. Now, all of a sudden, when they went from saying, we can get whoever we want, doesn't matter how much we gave Soto, you know, we can still get Pete, we can still get Vlad. Apparently, that is not the case. Now, they're moving the goalposts saying, oh, he's a smart businessman. He didn't get rich by, you know, just throwing money around. Excuse me, but you guys all said it's not your money, and you want him and expect him to throw money around. Now, all of a sudden, since David Stearns is doing him, and you know that you guys may not get everybody you want, you move the goalposts. That's all I had to say about that, and I appreciate you.
Thanks for the call, Ray. Yeah, there's always a lot of goalposts moving. There's always a lot of narrative changing. There's always a lot of, you know, different strokes for different folks. And when the narrative fits your argument and what you want, there was an article put out after Juan Soto signed that this was a risk-free signing. Come on, you know. Like in the New York Post. Last name rhymes with KM to AM. First name rhymes with on. It's risk-free signing. Or this signing comes with almost little to no risk. Come on, bro. We're talking about signing a player for 15 years at $51 million with escalators that can make it 55, like little to no risk. And it's not just the money. What does this do to your team? What does this do to your clubhouse? All of these signings are risky because these players get paid for what they've done, not what they're going to do. You don't know. You don't know about health. You don't know how these players are going to age. So I just thought it was crazy to see like a whole article about this is risk-free. I think I posted it on Twitter. I'm like, give me a break. Joe's in Florida. Before we go to the break, what's up, Joe? Joe, I don't know if I got you. Your line is a little shaky. Are you there? He's not there. Well, stay tuned, folks. Zach Rosenblatt is going to join us.
Everyone has an opinion. Let's hear yours. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
And we're back. Joining us right now on The Fan in New York, my guy, Zach Rosenblatt, who covers the New York Jets for The Athletic. Welcome in, Zach. How are you?
I'm good, Keith. How you doing, my man?
Good, good. Thanks for taking the time tonight. Obviously, this is a time for celebration. The Jets have named new head coach Aaron Glenn as the guy. You know, I made a joke last night. We went from AGNB, all gas, no brakes, to Aaron Glenn, the new boss, new beginnings. What do you think about Aaron Glenn as the new hire?
Yeah, I think he hits all the things that the Jets needed and what they wanted. I was even just thinking about this a little bit before I got on here. The Jets got a lot of flack for talking to a million people, but they landed on one of the best candidates of the cycle. Meanwhile, you have the Jaguars just completely bungling it at every turn and all the crazy stuff happening over there. So I think ultimately the process landed them with one of, if not, you know, the best candidates that were available to them. So I'm a big fan of the hire. Obviously, there are questions anytime a guy is a first-time head coach, but I think he's made of all the right stuff, and he has what it takes as long as he can build the right staff and find the right quarterback.
Yeah. Well, what do you make of the interview day a couple days ago now and him leaving the building and deciding he wasn't going to go to New Orleans, he wasn't going to go to Dallas, this was the spot? I think it says a lot, and I think Jets fans are always looking for someone that wants them and is choosing them. What do you say about the homecoming, the fact that he was a former Jet and he wanted this job and he was a highly coveted guy for the last 2 years in the NFL?
Yeah, you know, what I would say about him leaving the building thing, I think that was reported without, like, context, so everybody kind of lost their mind. I think he was planning on being the Jets coach the whole time he walked out of that building. I think there was just some, you know, some I's and T's that needed to be dotted and crossed. But, I think the fact that he wanted this job was, you know, kind of a prerequisite. I mean, it seems obvious, but the Jets have been a dysfunctional team for a long time. And to people who, you know, aren't familiar with what goes on here and how they can go about fixing it, like, I don't know how many of the top candidates were willing to really consider it. You know, I know that, you know, Ben Johnson told him he wasn't interested. I know Cliff Kingsbury told him he wasn't interested. Aaron Glenn was from the beginning. He's a homebred person. You know, he was drafted by them. He started his career here with a Pro Bowl corner. He knows what it takes to win here. He knows the pressure that comes with it, like, and he still wanted all of that. So there's definitely something to be said for that. And on top of that, he was willing to come and work for Woody Johnson, which I don't know that a lot of candidates necessarily were, you know, dying to do that.
You took the thought right out of my head. Let's start at the top. Let's go to Woody Johnson, right? Your reporting along with Diana Russini and, you know, stuff you guys put out in The Athletic. I pay the $4.99 now for The Athletic. I had the $1.99 deal, but whatever, it is what it is, because, I mean, it helps me do my job. And you guys had the piece at the end of the season last year, and then you had two pieces this year. And I think about Woody, and I'm like, if I'm Woody, I don't want another one of these written. And I read an ESPN article where he said it's a typical smear piece, and it's unsubstantiated, and, you know, he's really trying to take up for his son, Brick Johnson, or whatever. But what do you think about Woody Johnson? I think he has to respect Aaron Glenn, And I also think he's got to respect the next GM, and we'll talk about that in a second. But what do you think about Woody Johnson this time around? I think he's learned from his mistakes, and I think he's going to respect Aaron Glenn as the head coach.
Yeah, you know, I think early signs are good that he's maybe learned from some of the things that have transpired, the way people are talking about him and the team. But, you know, it's still like everybody will believe it when they see it kind of thing. Like, you know, historically speaking, if when the Jets struggle is when he tends to come in. So, you know, if he goes through this whole offseason, he lets the GM and the coach do their jobs without interfering, which, you know, let's make the assumption he does that. What happens if they start 1-3 or something like that? Like, is he still going to stay patient, or is he going to start changing the schedule? Is he going to start assisting lineup changes? Is he going to, you know, start questioning decisions that Aaron Glenn or the GM are making? So these are all, that's kind of the big unknown, and that's going to be a big factor in if this team is able to build something here. You know, I think sometimes the Jets have tried to skip a few steps, and instead of, you know, building something sustainable, they try and go all in, and when it's backfired, it puts them in a bad spot, and then you go back to rebuilding. And so if he's willing to be patient and let this group kind of build it out and give them time, then I think they could succeed. But it's going to really come down to him just, you know, trusting the people that he's hiring.
Yeah, so I think people jumped the gun on Lance Newmark a bit, and obviously connecting the dots from Detroit and him having a working relationship with Aaron Glenn, people just immediately pointed to him. Now, obviously, they're having second interviews with some other guys, so it's a two-part question here. One, I want to know your thoughts on the other candidates and how far along, and then two, today, on my way in, I tweeted about it because I think this is a trend, and I even laughed about it. The Jaguars, literally, like Shad Khan said, that he would consider firing GM Trent Baalke if a head coach candidate gave him the right reason to. And Liam Cohen left the building and was supposedly going back to Tampa. And then today we're hearing that he's going to take the job and they fire Baalke. I'm like, he's a man of his word. Khan did what he said he was going to do. And I think the trend here is owners looking at coaches saying, I need your input on the GM, not the other way around, because you need to have input on the guy drafting players, trading players, working with personnel that you're going to coach. What do you think about where the Jets are in their search for the GM? And also, how do you think now when you see, you know, the trend of, all right, they just hired a head coach and fired their GM, they're going to go hire a GM now with the advice coming from their head coach, where we are in the NFL with that?
Yeah, you know, I think you kind of alluded to this, but I think it wound up being a little overblown, the idea that Aaron Glenn maybe was insisting that Lance Newmark be a package deal with him. It was interesting the way it played out, where they both were there on Tuesday. Like you said, they left the building, and then all of a sudden the Jets scheduled two different GM interviews. So I think you can, you know, put two and two together there a little bit. But I think ultimately they're going to land on one of the two guys they interviewed today, Darren Mugay from the Broncos and, like on his first name, Brown with the Bengals. These are two guys that are pretty highly regarded in league circles. Neither has been a GM, so there's some risk attached. But, yeah, you know, it is interesting. It seems to be more of a trend in recent years where teams are hiring a coach and letting them kind of dictate, you know, the personnel side or who's going to run things. I don't think that's the worst thing. If you have a coach that you really believe in, the coach is ultimately the one that's setting the culture, and he needs a GM that he can work with and that he can communicate to this GM, okay, these are the players that I need. This is the scheme I'm running. And so I think that is, there is something to be said about Aaron Glenn being involved in the decision to pick whatever GM he wants.
Yeah, the next question for you is about the staff. I just think it's so important. I talked about Nick Sirianni, and now Nick Sirianni potentially could be one of, I don't know, I forget the stat, but like he might go to the Super Bowl twice in his first 4 years. And I'm like, you know what? I've seen this guy get into spats with the media, make mistakes in the media. I've seen him go back and forth with fans. I saw the defensive line coach shield Jalen Carter from talking to him. I don't even know if the players all like him, but he's got a hell of a staff around him with Fangio and Stoutland and Kellen Moore. It is so important to have the right staff. We've heard a little bit about Clint Kubiak being an offensive coordinator or Mark Brunell being an offensive coordinator. There's some rumblings about Steve Wilks coming in and that Glenn is going to want a defensive coordinator with head coaching experience. Fans are pushing for Rex Ryan. Where do you think we are right now with Aaron Glenn building out his staff? Who do you think has a leg up? And, you know, maybe how soon can we start finding out who's filling these roles?
Yeah, you know, I think Aaron Glenn will go through, like, the interview process and request interviews with guys and other staffs and things like that. So it's not something that, you know, guys are going to be hired, like, tomorrow. But I think, you know, offensive coordinator and, you know, Connor Hughes is on this first, and I've been reporting on it too. Nick Haley is a guy. He's on the Rams staff. He's, I think, their tight ends coach and passing game coordinator. He's really highly regarded. He rejected the Patriots last year. They offered him a lot of money to be an OC, and he felt like he wasn't ready yet. He kind of smartly, he's like, I kind of want another year under Sean McVay. You could do worse than plucking from the Sean McVay tree. He worked under Bill Belichick. He's somebody that, you know, I think is viewed as a future head coach. There's a risk always when you do a first-time play caller, but I think he's the top of the list of guys they want if he's willing to take it. I don't think they've interviewed him yet, but I do think he'll be on the list. And Clint Kubiak, who you mentioned, is another one. Scott Turner, someone who's been mentioned. Mark Brunell. But I think Nick Haley would be the top target. And Steve Wilks, it sounds like, is the running favorite at defensive coordinator. He's somebody who I think it's very smart for Aaron Glenn to target somebody like that who doesn't necessarily have ties to, but he's been a head coach, he's been a play caller, and I think he needs some veteran coaches on this staff as he becomes a first-time head coach. I think that's really, really important for a first-time coach to have somebody in there who's been there, who you can bounce ideas off of and you know, get advice on how to go about things when you're running the whole operation.
We're on the phone right now with Zach Rosenblatt from The Athletic, who covers your New York Jets. You know, as a first-year head coach, he's going to have some growing pains. He's going to have a learning curve. Anybody will, their first time doing anything. But, yeah, I think it's smart to have a Steve Wilks who, you know, and I hate that fans do this. They point to his time with the Cardinals and are like, oh, he wasn't any good there. It has nothing to do with what he'll be as an assistant to Aaron Glenn and as a defensive coordinator. And I also hate when fans want to say stuff about, oh, Rob Saleh was a better defensive coordinator than Aaron Glenn was. And I've knocked everyone down about this last game against the Commanders because Jared Goff turned the ball over four times. They had 11 guys on IR. Their defense was decimated. Nobody was saying anything when they were shutting down Sam Darnold in the 14-win Vikings. But now everybody wants to lean on that. I know there's just a lot of pessimism in the fan base, but I think that this guy is going to be a CEO type, a leader of men. He used to own restaurants. You know, what are the type of questions that you're going to ask when you get him and when you get in front of him? I can't wait to see how he handles the press conference. Like Nick Sirianni's press conference was terrible. Give me one question or one line of thought that you'd like to ask Aaron Glenn about approaching this Jets team that's on a 14-year drought of the playoffs that, you know, is a laughing stock and needs to get right away.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's a bunch, obviously, but if you're asking for one, like the one that I have in my head is I think a lot about something Garrett Wilson said towards the end of the year where he said it's in our DNA that we just expect things to go wrong. And so, like, my question for Aaron Glenn is, like, how do you go about changing that culture of same old Jets, that culture of expecting disaster to happen, that it's always just around the corner? Because that's kind of going to be his number one task, is changing the culture, you know, creating a culture of accountability, all those things, like what that means to him. Like, these are all things I'm very curious about. And there's logistical things, like, are you going to call plays on defense? What do you think of Aaron Rodgers? All that kind of stuff. But, like, the overarching theme for me is just going to be, how do you go about changing what's been wrong with this team for 14 years when other coaches have come here thinking they could do it and they failed? So why are you the guy to do that?
Yeah, I think so many people, because he's a first-time head coach, they want to say he's young or like he's some type of novice. Yes, he will be a first-time head coach, but he brings a ton of experience as a player, as a scout, doing quality control. You know, the biggest thing that I, you know, put in my notes these last couple of days, Parcells talking about him, Sean Payton talking about him. Like, the fact that Damian Woody said, I can't tell you how many players have talked about being excited about this. And then reports coming out that players reached out to Woody like, hey, don't mess this up. Like, this is the guy, bring him in. He brings all of that with him. So I expect to see some former Jets, and I expect him to just, you know, kind of command that respect where he will change that. But I think the biggest thing for him to figure out with the roster as we go from the owner to the GM to the staff now to the players, what do you think he's going to do with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback? What do you think he's going to do at quarterback? I've read some reports that he would want to bring Aaron Rodgers back, and I've leaned into his 14-year career as a player and the brotherhood and the fraternity that these players have and how they, you know, sympathize with each other, especially at the end of a career. I think he'll be more inclined to try and bring Aaron Rodgers back, and I think Aaron Rodgers would hear him out. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I still don't have a great read on that. I think people reporting what he'll do with that, I think they're getting a little ahead of themselves, because you still need the GM in there. And Aaron Rodgers needs to talk to Aaron Glenn, and they both need to decide if this is a relationship they want. You know, I think there's a case to be made on both sides about whether he should or shouldn't be back. But the case for is that there's not a lot of great quarterbacks here. if the goal is to win right away, he's probably the best option just relative to the other options out there. And unless you believe Sam Darnold will come back, I don't think there's anybody out there that's available as of right now that would be better than Rodgers healthy. But then there's the flip side. There's the financial stuff. There's the circus that comes with it. There's Aaron Rodgers demanding his offense and him running things and things like that and his friends being there. And if Aaron Rodgers is willing to, you know, cave to what Aaron Glenn wants, then it could be a good relationship. But I lean towards them doing a clean slate, letting Aaron Glenn pick his quarterback for this year, finding somebody young to develop and things like that. But I still lean towards Aaron not coming back, but it's certainly possible that he does.
Yeah, honestly, me, I was saying, I, if this is a new head coach, new GM, new regime, you got to move on from Aaron Rodgers. But the reason that I suggest them bringing Aaron Rodgers back is because the more I think about, like, Tyrod Taylor being the starter or bringing in a Jameis Winston or a Justin Fields or a Russell Wilson, you know, I'm just throwing out names of the guys that are out there, even, like, paying a Kirk Cousins. I don't think it makes sense with the dead cap with Rodgers. And if Rodgers doesn't retire, like, I think they start there. I think they'll have conversations. But then I look at the rest of the team, and with this five-year deal, I also think this job was attractive to Aaron Glenn because this isn't a rebuild. They have talent. I can't wait to see what he does with a Sauce Gardner, a kid that like he can relate to. They both lived in Detroit, obviously Gardner from Detroit and him being in Detroit the last few years, him being a first-round pick at corner for the Jets, Gardner. Like, I can't wait to see what he does for some of these players. My next question for you is with that number 7 overall pick and, you know, a draft coming, what do you expect them to do with that 7 overall pick? I think they need to hit on a player that can contribute and that can help right away.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cliche of there. I think they really are in position to just pick the best player available. I don't think, unless somehow Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward or something fell that far, which I can't see happening, I don't think a quarterback makes a lot of sense there. And, you know, so I think something like an edge rusher, defensive tackle, offensive tackle, they could use a right tackle, like something like even a defensive back. Like, I think you can make a case for all of those. They just need to take the best player. Somebody's going to help right away. If it winds up being on defense, that's fine. And you can, you know, Aaron Glenn, to his credit, and we haven't really talked about this that much, but like he changed his scheme based on his personnel year to year. And I think there's something to be said about that. They have good personnel already. They have a few holes, but if they can go and find like another elite pass rusher or somebody next to Quinnen or something like that, then you should have a pretty good defense again. And so I think that's kind of where my head's at.
Yeah, I mentioned him being a first-round corner, Sauce being a first-round corner. I think DJ Reed is good as gone. If Will Johnson from Michigan is there, I think that'd be a great guy to draft and bring into this culture and almost like a universe never unconnects type of thing. Like Aaron Glenn's first pick, being a corner that he can bring in and draft and mold. If not, Tankathon has Will Campbell out of LSU. Doesn't hurt to take potentially the first offensive lineman off the board, best offensive lineman off the board, but they have, you know, offensive lineman returning. I don't know. I get good vibes from this. I know that this is a time to be optimistic. I know the future's uncertain, but I think that Aaron Glenn and all of the experience that he has, the type of guy he is, the type of players he's looking for, the mentality he's going to bring, I feel good about where the Jets are headed. I don't think Rome will be built in a day, but I think over the course of this next 5 years, if it's not next year, the year after, they'll end the playoff drought and they won't be a laughing stock.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hope. I think there are some fans that have been burned so much by this team that they're hesitant to like really celebrate a coach hiring. But I think it's okay to celebrate it right now just because of the background and that he's homegrown and that he wanted to be here and his Bill Parcells ties and all that stuff. And then judge the rest of it based on what they do this offseason and how the season starts and stuff like that. But they at least started off this process doing the right things. And I think Aaron Glenn, like I said, I think he's what they need in terms of somebody who's going to be willing to call out guys, hold them accountable, and still be their friend at the end of the day. He brings all those attributes that you want in a head coach.
Zach, you're the man. I appreciate you. When things turn around, I know you won't take credit, but I'll give you credit on the fan. Your work, your reporting, your writing, you kind of forced their hand here. You kind of helped push them in the right direction here. When things start going good for the Jets, you'll get some credit from me.
I appreciate that, Keith. Always good talking to you.
Zach Rosenblatt from The Athletic, covering the New York Jets. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
I know the grind. man, for 2.5 hours and got a fight. I know how it is. So, man, I respect you. But, man, it's time for a change. It's time for a change for you as players, for this organization, for us as coaches. Man, I'm trying to get something that's going to stir you up from in the inside, all right, that's going to change exactly who you are as a player, right, who this organization is, man, so we can get ready to move forward on this journey. Jonah, where are you, Jonah?
Right here.
Okay, you started at Rutgers, right? And then you went to Ohio State. How many games did you lose that year at Ohio State? One game. Every game you played, every time you woke up to play that game, you felt like you was going to win that game. Brock, where you at, Brock? All right, 2011, y'all went to Natty, right? How many games did you guys win that year? 13 games. How many did you lose? One game. Same feeling, right? Every time you put your feet on the ground that morning, you felt like you was winning that game. You damn right. You knew you was gonna win. Winning. Time to get that feeling back.
Yeah, I like that. I like that, coach. Let's get it. All right, we're right back. Keith McPherson on the Fan. That was Aaron Glenn on Hard Knocks a couple years back. If you're a football fan, you watched that and you didn't even realize. You watched Hard Knocks. That's him talking to the Lions in a room that looks like a room that, you know, a film room or, you know, a college lecture room. And, man, he's a Southern gentleman. He's inspiring. And it just makes you think about where the Jets are going. They are going to draft players from winning college programs. They are going to draft winners. They are going to get the losers out of the locker room. And they're going to set a standard behind him. It's non-negotiable. It's the only thing that he's going to come in here and do. It might not happen right away, but it's going to happen over time. I think the Jets are in good hands with Aaron Glenn. If you could just listen to the way that he was talking to those guys, man, about, you know, I respect you. Like, I did it. Like, it goes a long way. Some people want to sell it short. It goes a long way for a coach to have played in the NFL, to have put in that grind, to know what that is like. If you want, go look at the difference between Rob Saleh talking to the Jets on Hard Knocks and Aaron Glenn talking to the Lions on Hard Knocks. It's on HBO Max, 888-808-1019. Brian is in Edison, next up on the Fan.
What's going on, Keith?
What's up, Brian?
Chilling, bro. Yeah, man. Aaron Glenn, man, I think we got the coach, man. You know, I really think he's going to change around the culture, motivate the players. That's something that, you know, that was lacking in the Jets last year, you know. You know, a lot of, you know, disciplinary issues, players weren't locked in. I feel like, you know, without, you know, having a turmoil in coaching from, you know, losing Rob Saleh like week 5 all the way up to, you know, having Jeff Ulbrich kind of learn from the, you know, learning to be a head coach really on the job, really, which I feel like, you know, was kind of the disaster, you know, in the makings at that point on. So I think the Jets are, you know, moving the right direction with Aaron Glenn and having him as a leader with the team. I, you know, just got a, you know, just quick question. We're just trying to, you know, pick your brain on this. Obviously, the Jets moved on, you know, pick their head coach first. I'm just thinking of head. You know, let's say, you know, usually year one, year two with a new head coach, you know, new GM, it's usually the honeymoon phase. You know, everyone's excited. Everyone's, you know, feeling good, you know. Everyone's looking forward to the next season or two. You know, even if the first season doesn't work out to the best ability, as long as there's positive results, a positive reinforcement from the previous year, you know, everyone, the media, the fan base, you know, they're going to be like, all right, you know, we see some progress. Let's say things doesn't go so well with the Jets, with Aaron Glenn. Obviously, you know, we're still pending on the GM. You know, let's say year 3, do you feel there's going to be a power struggle between the, you know, the Jets making decisions where, you know, right now it feels like, you know, the Jets are more inclined with the head coach than the potential GM.
Thanks for the call, Brian. I can't jump to 3 years from now. I can't even get to next year. We don't know who the GM is. We don't know who the quarterback is. What we do know is the circus is over. What we do know is that the free-for-all is over. What we do know is he's going to tighten them up. So the jumping off sides, the not being prepared, the illegal procedures, those type of things, you expect that to be cleaned up. game management, clock management. He's going to have to learn those things in games, but I think he's going to be prepared to, right? I think you're just going to see a different-looking Jets team. And like I said, they have talent. This is a roster that everybody, whether you looked at PFF, I remember doing a stream for Bleacher Report last year, top 10 rosters in the NFL, ESPN, they were on everybody's list last year as a top 10 roster in the NFL. They can add draft picks to that. They're going to have a certain type of guy they're looking for. They're going to add free agents. Some of these guys are going to depart. DJ Reed, who compared him to the 85 Bears that didn't age so well, he's gone. And he'll get paid somewhere. Good for him. I look at Aaron Glenn and the standard that he's about to set and the examples that we can pull from in Detroit. And I look at this Jets team. I can't look about 3 years down the road and guess if there's going to be turmoil. I think Woody Johnson is ready to stand down. He doesn't want to be looked at like this. He doesn't want to be talked about like this. He wants to win. He came out and told you this is the most talented team we've had in years. So imagine his disappointment. Imagine where he is as an owner. He wants to get success. He wants to produce. He wants to get to the playoffs and shake this laughing stock, longest drought in a professional sport. Like, I think he's going to stand down and not be in the way. I guarantee you Aaron Glenn's not going to be like, yeah, bring your kids in. Brick Johnson all bricked up coming into the locker room. It's over with. All that is done. 888-808-1019. Let's go to BT in North Brunswick.
Hey, Chief.
Hey.
Are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you? What do you got for us?
No, I'm sorry. Great to hear. I listen to you every night. Awesome show.
Thank you.
I want to go off the radar for a second. Like, in a crazy situation, AFC, NFC Championship weekend is this weekend. If say the Giants and the Jets both hosted those games, what would happen? What would the NFL do? It could happen with the Chargers or the Rams, but what would happen?
I guess if there's some imaginary world where I don't think it'll ever happen, but there's an imaginary world where the Jets and the Giants are the higher seed and they have home field advantage.
Right. The Jets could host an AFC Championship game. And the Giants could host an NFC Championship game. What would the NFL do in that situation?
Yeah,
games are like 30 to 30.
I would assume they would put one game on Saturday, one game on Sunday. You can't have them on the same day. You can't have them over.
Well, you can. Wouldn't that make some kind of like crazy, like?
Yeah, the NFL is not worried about it. Anybody from the NFL office is listening right now. Thanks for the call, BT. They're laughing. They're like, impossible. We don't ever have to worry about that. It's never happened. It's not going to happen. But maybe the Giants draft the quarterback of the future. Maybe Aaron Glenn and this new GM get things going. And before we know it, a couple years, we're looking at the number one seed Giants and the number one seed Jets. And they don't get bounced in the divisional round. And they have to host the AFC and NFC championship. And the NFL is king, man. They'll figure it out. Like I said, maybe they'll have a Saturday game. Maybe they'll have a Sunday game. That's just not, it's just the probability of that happening. It's just the math is so low. I don't know. I don't know what they would do, but they would figure it out. I don't think they would have a neutral site. I think it's important to have that home field advantage, and both teams would figure it out. Like, I think we're closer to seeing that in LA, as you saw the Chargers and the Rams both be in the playoffs. I mean, what did they do with the wildfires? They moved that game to Arizona. They had a contingency plan. Now that's natural disaster. I just think that if we actually did, they'd have a plan in place. The conference championship weekend might be staggered. Maybe they play the NFC championship Saturday and then they turn around and do it Sunday. But I don't know how long I'm gonna live, how long you're gonna live. I don't think we're ever gonna see that. It's just the odds of that happening are very slim. Kyle is out in Tom's River. Kyle, you're on the Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
Good, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I heard a caller say this last night, and I didn't get to hear your response, so I just want to hear what you have to say. The Giants have the third-round pick, so I was thinking that next year we have the toughest schedule, right?
Yes, they have the toughest strength of schedule. They have the third overall pick this year in the draft.
Right, so if we take Travis Hunter this year, and next year we're going to have, like, probably a little lucky if we get 3 wins, and then we can just get a quarterback next year. And Malik Nabers got 1,000 yards with the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. So that would be a pretty good trio.
I think this is where you are. If you miss out on Cam and Shador, the top two quarterbacks, then you take the best available. But there is no way, in my estimation, that they can go through this whole draft, 7 rounds, without taking a quarterback. Maybe 2, depending on if somebody falls and they do their due diligence. They don't have a quarterback room. Drew Lock is gone. Daniel Jones is gone. Tim Boyle, come on. Tommy Cutlets, maybe he'll be around as a practice squad arm, a third string guy. They have to fill that room with 3 guys. And one should come through free agency, the other one through the draft, just so that they have like more of a veteran there and a young guy. I don't think they're going to actually draft 2 rookies, but I mean, you saw the Patriots draft 2 rookies last year. It's not unheard of. It happens a lot, actually. Even the Commanders, they drafted Jaden Daniels and Sam Hartman many moons ago. The Redskins drafted Robert Griffin III and Kirk Cousins. Somebody call me up and tell me another team that's drafted 2 quarterbacks in the same draft. Like they need to draft a quarterback. You can't have eyes on like Archie Manning or the kid out of LSU like next year. They don't have a quarterback. They've passed on drafting quarterbacks the last few years. They will absolutely draft a quarterback this year. Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. We're getting up to the break and the update. But yeah, I'll take another call on that and I'll elaborate more. Jack is in Rockland. Jack, you're on the Fan.
Yo, what's up, Keith? First time calling?
Thanks. Welcome in.
Yeah, so I was wondering, what do you think the actual chance of the Giants getting Shador Sanders?
They're high. Thanks for the call, Jack. We're just up against it. Marco just came in. We're going to throw to the update in 1 minute, but I'll elaborate here. With the talk about this generational talent stuff with the Titans, maybe they take Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, and then they ride with Will Levis and Mason Rudolph, and maybe they bring in another quarterback over there, and they kick the can down the road. I don't think the Browns are in a position to pass on a quarterback with what we learned about Deshaun Watson. You know, I always say shout out to Evan. Deshaun Watson is to me what Sean McDermott is to Evan. Like, every time I mention Deshaun Watson, the masseuse madman, I'm going to remind you what he did. And I can't wait to see karma kick his ass all the way out of the league. And it is. He got caught on TikTok with his influencer girlfriend not wearing a walking boot a couple weeks ago. They're in L.A. They're in Miami. He's having a great time. Spending all that money that he made from the Browns, but not taking care of himself to be ready. Kirk Cousins came back. J.K. Dobbins came back. Aaron Rodgers came back. When we come back, we'll talk about comeback player of the year. Deshaun Watson's not going to be able to come back next year, so the Browns have to draft a quarterback in this draft. I think they take Cam Ward or Shador Sanders, but listen, the likelihood of the Giants getting Shador Sanders is high because Deion could say, I don't want my kid going to Ohio. I don't want my kid going there. And maybe Kevin Stefanski hears that and understands that, and they draft Cam Ward, and then boom, you have Shador Sanders, the quarterback of the New York Giants, number 3 overall.